Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text number 6. So vai bovam veda samasta guhyam. Upasato yad purushat puranah. Paravarisho manasaiva vishwam. Srijat yavat yati gunair asangaha. Yavat yati gunair asangaha. Savai bhavan veda samasta guhyam. Upasito yat purushat puranah. Paravarisho manasaiva vishvam. Srijat yavat yati gunair asambaha. Saha.
Thus.
Vai.
Certainly.
Bhavan.
Yourself.
Veda,
no,
samasta,
all inclusive,
guhyam,
confidential,
upasitaha,
devotee of,
yat,
because,
Purushaha,
the personality of Godhead.
Puranaha,
the oldest.
Paravarishaha,
the controller of the material and spiritual worlds.
Manasa,
mind.
Eva,
only.
Vishwam,
the universe.
Srijati,
creates.
Avati,
atti,
annihilates.
Gunaihi,
by the qualitative matter.
Asangaha,
unattached.
Translation
and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Purport. A person who is sent, percent engaged in the service of the Lord is the emblem of all knowledge. Such a devotee of the Lord, in full perfection of devotional service, is also perfect by the qualification of the personality of Godhead. As such, the eightfold perfections of mystic power, Ashta Siddhi, constitute very little of his godly opulence. A devotee like Narada can act wonderfully by his spiritual perfection, with which every individual is trying to attain. Sri Narada is a cent percent, perfect, living being, although not equal to the personality of Godhead. We don't, in our mind, take the spiritual master to be exactly equal to God.
Sakshad Haridvena Samasta Shastrani Uktas Tata Bhavyate Eva Sadvi. Yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Guru Ashtaka is praying. The Guru is considered by the Shastras and by the saintly devotees who live according to the Shastra. They consider the Guru to be Sakshad Hari. No, Sakshad Hari Dvaina. They don't say Sakshad Hari Harina. Not that he's directly Hari. But he's in the category of Hari. Equivalent to God. Haritvam is condition of being God or like God. Kintu Praboya Triya Evatasya. Because the explanation is, he's not God himself. The Jiva is never God. And most gurus are living entities like you and me. But he's, of all the living entities, most dear to the Supreme Lord. There is an intimate relationship the Guru has with Krishna. Relationship between two different individuals, Paramatma and Jivatma. Every living being has a relationship with God. But some living entities, in this world very few, know their relationship with God and are functioning to full capacity in that relationship. That is the position of Guru. He's functioning in full capacity in his loving relationship with Krishna. Kriya eva tasya. Therefore, the Guru is empowered by Krishna to be his representative and to present all knowledge necessary for a disciple and to give the blessings of Krishna to a disciple that will empower the disciple to reach Krishna, to get free from all material entanglement and take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Krishna. The Guru has that power. Not just to give liberation, but to give love of God, which is something more valuable. So he's empowered representative of God. Narada is 100%. Perfect living being, although not equal to the personality of Godhead. That is Prabhupada's last statement in the purport. And a devotee like Narada, or any pure devotee, gets all the potencies of God as God chooses to give grant them. Every devotee should have basic tattva gyan, understanding of what is God, what is jiva, what is the position between them. Every devotee must know, I am eternal servant of Krishna. You may not know which servant of Krishna you are. You may not have realized your swarupa. That is only in a very advanced state. But at least you must theoretically understand that you are Krishna's servant. You're not the servant of Maya. The illusion living entities think that they're part of nature. Yaya samohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam tarayami marute nartam tatkritam javi padyate. This is the influence of Krishna's deluding material energy, by which the living entity, even though he is transcendental, satchit ananda, qualitatively equal with God, even though quantitatively he is very small. In quality, he's the same as God. Pure spirit, fully conscious, eternal, fully conscious, and with the capacity to experience infinite pleasure. But under the influence of Krishna's external energy, who gets her power to control us, when we turn away
by our own choice when we turn away from Krishna. Then Maya captures us. But OP, even though we are pure spirit, we start to think that we are also a product of matter. We think that we're material. We think we are this body. And the various things surrounding this body, family, country, property, social connection, we think this is ours because of material misidentification. The difference between ignorance and knowledge. A pure devotee is a knowledge. Others are in various kinds of ignorance created by this illusory power. Unless you get the blessings of Krishna and his devotees, you cannot rise from ignorance to knowledge. The Vedas enjoin we should do this. Tamasi ma jyotir vamoya. Leave the darkness. Go to the light. But we can only do this when we get the blessing of Krishna's mercy potency that gives us entrance into the realm of devotion. By karma, jnana, and ordinary yoga, you cannot get this. Only by bhakti. Bhaktiya tvaranyaya bhaktiya ahamevam vidarjuna. You could know me as I am, Arjuna, Krishna tells. Only by devotion, not by any other means. And Lord Brahma prays to Krishna after he tried to fool Krishna by stealing the boys and calves who were Krishna's associates. Krishna fooled Brahma by reproducing those boys and calves from himself. And Brahma surrendered and offered his prayers. One of the prayers, Atapi Te Deva Padam Puja Dvaya Prasada Lesh Anugrihita Evahi Janati Tadvam Bhagavat Mahimno Nachanyo Eko Bichiram Vichimvam. My dear sir, only a devotee who has gotten, what is a devotee? It's not that you were born, just because you're born in a family of Vaishnavas, this does not make you a devotee of Krishna. There are some who claim this by birthright. They claim the position of devotee, or even the position of Vaishnavacharya. This is rejected by our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Consider that the Jati Gosais, Jati Goswami, those who claim to be guru just because of what family they were born in, that is upa sampradaya, false representation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, false representatives. You cannot claim that you're a great devotee of Krishna, especially claim that you have the right to take disciples and be acharya, only because of your birth. You don't become a devotee by your birth or by your education or by anything. Only, Brahma says, prasada lesh anagrihita evahi. If you get at least a small fragment of Krishna's personal mercy, when he's pleased, then a devotee can understand him. Then one can actually be a devotee. A devotee is one who understands Krishna. You cannot be a devotee without understanding Krishna. And you cannot understand Krishna unless you've gotten his mercy. At least one drop, some fragment of his mercy, lesha. Janati tatvam bhagavam mahimno. Brahma says, that person who's received some portion of your mercy, he can understand the extent of your glories. He can understand what makes you great, how you are great, and to what extent. Nachanyo, no one else
No one who has not received such mercy can understand God properly. Chiramvichin ekopi chiramvichinvan. Even after studying and thinking philosophically about what is God, what is the Supreme, you can speculate for lifetimes, even on the basis of studying the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, still you will not understand until you get Krishna's blessings. And the blessings usually come, they're dispensed, usually not by Krishna himself. Krishna has to take a neutral position, because he does not want, he chooses, this is his choice, not to interfere with our autonomy. Let's not say independence, but autonomy. The living entity is created as autonomous conscious being. Jiva has his own consciousness and his own capacity to choose. Most importantly, to choose to be surrendered to Krishna or to rebel. The rebellious living entities are allowed to come to a false material world where they can fantasize their rebellious life and try to live in a place where there doesn't seem to be any God. Although God and Krishna is present in everything, including his material energy, he hides himself in the material world. Naham prakashak sarvasya, yoga maya samanvitaha. In this world we don't see God, even though he is there. This is the kindness of Krishna that let us fantasize a world without him. That is what happens to the rebellious living entities. But Krishna does not want to interfere. He wants our love. He doesn't want to force us to surrender. He will not force us, ever, make us surrender to him. We must choose of our own volition to give up our rebellion and again become faithful, loving servants. It must be our choice. Krishna will never force us. Therefore, he doesn't want to interfere. Love must be voluntary. Krishna doesn't want us to be robots, zombies, programmed machines to, without any choice, have to serve him. He wants us to choose to love him. Love must be voluntary. Therefore, Krishna himself does not interfere with our independence. Krishna gave Arjuna elaborate instruction on what he should do. Told him to fight. Told him why to fight. Explained everything to him. Throughout the Gita, at the end he told him, Vibhishayatara Sheshena Yatejasitata Kuru. Now I've told you everything. You think carefully about everything I've told you. And you, Arjuna, you decide what you want to do. Srila Prabhupada was lecturing in Hawaii. I was there listening in 1976. And he was commenting on this particular verse of the Gita. And he paraphrased Krishna telling Arjuna, I am your spiritual master. I have given you good instruction. Now you decide what you want to do. I will not interfere with your nonsense. This is how Prabhupada phrased it. Krishna will tell us, advise us what to do, but he won't force us to surrender. So he doesn't interfere personally. Therefore he doesn't dispense his mercy directly, usually. He dispenses it. He doesn't want to interfere, but he deputizes his devotees to interfere in our lives. Our devotee, Krishna will not come to us and say, you have to surrender me. But his devotee will knock on our door and tell us, my dear sir, you should surrender to Krishna. The mercy is usually dispensed by Krishna's representative, the devotee. Therefore, as Srila Vyasa is doing, we also should approach a representative of Narada and ask, please enlighten me. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my life. Please tell me how to function as a servant of God. And that's what Narada is being told by Vyasa. You know everything. I didn't even have to tell you what my problems are. You know that also. You're like the super soul. You're sitting in everyone's heart. You can read my heart. I didn't even have to say anything to you. I told you anyway what my difficulty is. You know the answer. But I know that the reason why you know everything is because you're a great devotee of God. You know God. I don't think that you're God, but I think that you know God. That you're an enlightened Vaishnava. The disciple, Vyas, has the sense to recognize that what the guru is giving is devotion to God. If you want something else, go to someone else. Don't go to the Vaishnava guru. If what you want is material benefit or impersonal liberation, there are other people giving those things away. But if you want devotion to Krishna, then you go to the Vaishnava guru. As Vyasadeva is doing. He wants to serve the mission of the Lord. He tried the best he could. Somehow he doesn't feel that he's done everything right, that he's left something undone. And now he's appealing to his guru. Please tell me what it is, the remaining thing that I still need to do to complete my mission. And Narada will be telling him that you have to sit down, prepare yourself by meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His energies and His pastimes. And then describe all this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the instruction that Narada is going to be giving to Srila Vyasa. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, please.
Independence to surrender to the Lord. You know, that independence is also given by the Lord. In that sense, you see, there is no independence in actuality.
That's why I prefer not to call it independence. Autonomy. Like you take a dog and you put him on a very long chain. He can run all over the yard, but he doesn't. The chain is not long enough that he can jump over the fence and go outside. So like that, we have some autonomy, some choice. We can run around the yard and bark at everybody. But we can't actually get out of the material world of our own power. So it's autonomy. It's we're always dependent, never independent. But we have choice who we want to be dependent on. Krishna's Divya Shakti or his Prakriti Shakti. His spiritual energy or his material energy. That our choice is there. We have to be controlled, but we can choose who we will be controlled by. We're never independent. But that autonomy is there. Our choice is there. So that's why I prefer to use the word autonomy. Like in the Soviet Union, they used to have autonomous republics. They weren't independent. They pretended that they had some control over themselves, you know, that they were being allowed some control, even though there was little self-control. But the idea of autonomous means you're not an independent country, but we let you, you know, have some of the power of ruling yourself. Just like you have this Bhutan. Bhutan is an independent country, or Sikkim. It's not really an independent country. India controls the foreign policy, and maybe Bhutan also. But they have self-rule. So it's autonomous, like that. Living entity makes his own choices, but still everything is under the control of God. And the fact that he has a little bit of choice It's only by the sanction of God. If God wants to take that away, then you lose it. Okay? When the Guru is not present, because he's distant, or he's left this world, then hopefully he has appointed his representative. When you're, just like your Guru may be, you know, in Mayapur, and you're living here in Udupi, but you're serving under, in an ashram, there's president of the ashram, he's representative of Guru. You want to find out what you should do, you go to the temple president. He's representative of your guru. Your guru told you, you stay in this place and you work with and cooperate with the temple president. He's the representative. When the guru leaves this world, then the disciple has to take his instructions. He has to serve Guru Vani, the words from the guru. Anyway, we all have Srila Prabhupada as our Shiksha Guru. And he's given such voluminous instructions about so many questions of life. Prabhupada's books, his conversations, and personal recollections of his disciples, so many instructions about almost every matter given by Srila Prabhupada. You need to know what to do in a certain situation. You can consult that vast, you know, database of information, instructions given by Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
His mother is a kind of guru. This is called Vartma Pradarshika Guru. Okay, the term is Vartma Pradarshika. The one who points you to the path. His mother pointed, if you go to the forest. She was not a great rishi. She just had some idea in her head. You want to find God? I guess, you know, yogis go to the forest. You should go to the forest also. She was just thinking in a simple way. You know, I know that the yogis, they go to the forest and find God there. Simple woman. So she told her son that. She didn't think he would really do it. Otherwise, why should he tell her son, you go away? You know, she didn't. She thought, a five-year-old boy, you won't do it. But he did it. So that's simply, it may be an ordinary person. But that person, through the inspiration of God, Super Soul is speaking to the person. And gives the instruction and begins their spiritual life. That is a kind of guru, but the real guru is the one who has knowledge. Narada was the actual Shiksha and Diksha guru. Vartma Pradarshika is just someone who begins you, points you to meet your actual Shiksha and Diksha gurus. Another example is Bilva Mangala. He was addicted to the prostitute Chintamani. She told him, if you had as much attraction to me as you had to my dead body, you'd be a great soul. That was her way of pointing her. She was his Vartma Pradarshika Guru, the one who pointed him to the path. Same thing.
Yes.
And I got one Bhagavad Gita in Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. Prabhupada is your Shiksha Guru. You met your Shiksha Guru immediately in that book. Prabhupada is your eternal Shiksha Guru. And maybe somebody gave you that book. Somebody said, you take this book. I don't know, maybe you found it yourself. Maybe someone gave it to you, that's your Vartma Pradarshika Guru. Here, take this book. Your Shiksha Guru is in this book. So the person who gave you your Shiksha Guru, that is the one who pointed the way. Maybe some bhakta in the temple there, somebody gave you the book. And then, you know, your Diksha Guru has given you Krishna mantra and he's your direct guide. So you have different gurus, different kinds.
Yes?
I asked one devotee.
Okay, the thing is, you don't have only one guru. You have one Diksha Guru. But you may have many Shiksha Gurus. They work together. You can have many gurus. Only one Shiksha, only one Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru. So Prabhupada is also your guru, but he is Shiksha Guru. Instructing spiritual master. That's the opinion of all the Vaishnavas. You can go down the street to the Shri Krishna Mata, you ask them, they'll say the same thing. All the Vaishnava Sampradayas have this opinion. Understanding what is Diksha Guru, what is Shiksha Guru. One Diksha Guru, you may have more than one Shiksha Guru. General Vaishnava principle, all the Vaishnavas and all the Sampradayas understand this. Okay? Yes. Diksha Guru is the person who has given you the Vishnu mantra. The Harinam mantra, we don't need Diksha, technically. It is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole universe. Every man, woman, and child has received the order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant Hare Krishna. So you can say the Hare Krishna Diksha is already there, given by Mahaprabhu himself. But if you want to worship Krishna, you have to receive Vishnu mantra. We receive Gopal mantra and other Gayatri mantras. We also get the Brahma Gayatri mantra by the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So these Vishnu mantras must be received by Mantraratrika Diksha. The guru who gives you that mantra, he is your Diksha Guru. And the etiquette is that your first authority, the person who you listen to first, is your Diksha Guru. You accept Shiksha Guru only when your Diksha Guru gives you permission. You know, before you take Shiksha Guru, you ask your Diksha Guru, can I take instruction from that person? And if there's disagreement of the two instruction of the two gurus, you have to go back to your Diksha Guru and ask his opinion. Except that every Prabhupada is automatically Shiksha Guru of everyone in ISKCON. Shiksha Guru, not Diksha Guru. So this is Vishishta Dvaita, so this is Vishishta Ritvik. This is, you know, Prabhupada's everyone's guru, but he's everyone's Shiksha Guru, not Diksha Guru.
You say Diksha Guru is a person who delivers the living entity back to body?
Well, he's the prime responsible person. You know, there are many gurus. They're all working together to deliver us. But one of them has the direct responsibility. You know, there's one of the gurus who has the personal responsibility. This is your disciple. And, you know, if he fails, it's your fault. If he succeeds, it's your success. You're responsible. So the person with prime responsibility, that is Diksha Guru. And others are working with him, cooperation, other gurus.
Also, we say ours is a Siksha Sampradaya. So
that doesn't mean we don't have, but that we completely neglect Diksha. We're also Diksha Sampradaya, but we put emphasis on Shiksha. We have our Diksha Sampradaya going back to Janava Mata. Now we receive mantra, but the pictures on the altar are our Shiksha Sampradaya. But we have both. I'm sorry, I interrupted. No, but you were in the middle of the sentence and I interrupted you. It's okay. We're not only Shiksha Sampradaya. It's just that sometimes the Shiksha relationship can be more important spiritually. And the Diksha is a formality. You must always maintain the respect to the Diksha Guru and not contradict his order. But you may have, on this transcendental level, you may have a more significant relationship with Shiksha Guru. Who is the Diksha Guru of Rupa Goswami? Nobody can tell you, because nobody, it is not recorded. We don't have historical record of who is the Diksha Guru of Rupa Goswami. We know who his Shiksha Guru is, his brother Sanatana Goswami. Some may say that Mahaprabhu gave him Diksha, because he gave him the name. But that's, you know, that's speculation. You know, actually we don't really know who actually gave the mantra to Rupa Goswami, who is his Diksha Guru. More important is the Shiksha relationship in that case. And another argument is given that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give Diksha to anybody. Of course, Diksha was given, but Mahaprabhu himself did not give. So in that way, Shiksha is very important in our life. Sometimes it overshadows the Diksha. But the Diksha is still there. The siddhic succession is intact. Now, otherwise, we cannot claim to be Sampradaya if we don't have the Diksha line. Sampradaya vihinaye mantras te ishpalamata. Mantras that are not received in parampara, going back to Krishna himself through his great devotees in a particular sampradaya, mantras received without that connection, diksha, line connection, are fruitless, nishpala. So Hare Krishna mantra, we can say, we all got from Mahaprabhu directly. But this Gopal mantra and other Gayatri mantras we have to receive through the diksha, parampara. And that is there. We have proper parampara. Even though the Babaji's may say we don't. They can argue, theoretically, that, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did something irregular, and therefore we don't have proper diksha connection. But judge by the result. Krishna Shakti Vina Navitar Pravartam. Unless you actually have the potency bestowed by Krishna, you cannot spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Those who are not spreading it very far, they should not criticize those who can spread it. Because that there's proof that the ones who are actually giving Krishna consciousness to many others, they're the ones who actually are getting Krishna's blessings the more. How can you say they don't have a connection when they're showing so much potency? Yes.
But Krishna also says that after going whence they don't return. So if that's the case, then how can you give that guarantee that after coming, after going where they don't return?
Generally, they don't. This is a difficult question. You know, I can only give my understanding, and you may not disagree with it. Krishna says, having gone to the spiritual world, you don't come back to the material world. But if you may, because jiva means you have the choice to reject Krishna. If you lose that choice, then you're some strange creature. You're not an ordinary jiva anymore. Jiva means tattastha, marginal, capability of being succumbed or succumbing to the influence of Maya. If you don't have that ability, then you're not a jiva. So every jiva, even liberated jivas in Vaikuntha, they can fall down, but generally they won't. You know, I could jump off of the Empire State Building, and many, you know, there used to be one or two people every year who would do that, and almost every one of them died, because it's over 1,000 feet tall, you know, 300 something meters, and a hard sidewalk on the bottom. But maybe somebody jumps off and he lands on the canopy of some window and survives. Maybe, chance one out of a million. Is he going to do it a second time? Very unlikely that he's going to jump off that building a second time after experiencing it the first time. So therefore we say nobody falls from Vaikuntha after going back. Theoretically he could, but I don't think there's any record of anybody falling down from Vaikuntha twice. Theoretically, it could happen. But you never, there's no historical record of anybody jumping off the Empire State Building two times. Most of them did not survive, and the few who survived never tried to do it again. Although he could. He could go up the elevator, you pay $3 to go to the top of the Empire State Building. You can do it. You can try to jump off a second time, but nobody in history has been crazy enough to do it. So Krishna can say, even though theoretically someone can do it, it doesn't happen anyway. Nobody really does it. Come, fall down twice. Yes?
Bharat Maharaj went to a forest and then austerity. They are very attracted to deer.
Yes.
Then he become next life deer.
Yes.
So after he knows that I not make mistake.
Yes.
Then in his deer life, he Ante Narayana Prati. He in last time, last moment, he also meets Krishna.
Yes.
Then why he again he become born in Jalavara?
Well, it's mentioned by Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha that some devotees make an intentional show of their own fault. They actually make mistakes intentionally to teach the conditioned souls not to make the same mistake. Some devotees set a bad example just to show what not to do, intentionally. And Bharat Maharaj is given on that list of a few devotees who acted like that, who made mistakes to show us not to make the same mistake. So, it may be that he came back again just to preach and to show that if you become distracted from your sadhana, you may have to wait 3 lifetimes to recover. So he took 3 lifetimes. It may also be that he was remembering Vishnu, but not perfectly. He may have been remembering Vishnu and also remembering something material mixed up at the time of death. So if his meditation was not pure, then he had to take another birth to finish up his business. Sometimes devotee women, they have miscarriage. Prabhupada explained that this is a fortunate event. That living entity was almost 100% Krishna conscious, but had a small trace of material desire left, very small. So he had to enter the womb. But even during the period of pregnancy, he finished up his business and went back to Godhead. So sometimes a small trace of material desire is left. A person has to take another birth just to get rid of that small trace. So maybe Jadavarat in his third birth was like that. He wasn't quite at the end of his life as a deer. He wasn't 100% ready to go back to Godhead. But also he had some preaching work to do. Liberated devotees will come back for the purpose of preaching, voluntarily, even though they don't have to. Okay, so two different explanations. Okay, anything else? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.